Please keep your Bibles open to Luke 23, and we'll begin there in a minute. It's certainly good to see everyone out this morning. I don't mean to overlook anybody, but I was just thinking, except for Phil and Helen and Sister Pauline, I think we would have everybody here this morning, which is really good. And we rejoice at the good news about Brother Kent. We need to keep praying for him that he will continue to stay well. We just have so much to be thankful for and to be thankful to God for everything that he has given to us. Luke chapter 23, I want us to consider this morning, dost not thou fear God? And let's back up in Luke 23 to verse 26 to get the context of this statement. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and the women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, and coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? Do you not fear God? There is not enough people fearing God today. We need to ask ourselves, do we fear God? Here, these two criminals were just a few hours away from entering into eternity, and the one sarcastically says to Jesus, you know, save yourself and save us also. And the other criminal said, Do you not even fear God? He saw the seriousness and the ridiculousness of what this other criminal was saying. As you know, when I study something, I like to look at the phrase throughout the Bible and see how it's used, just to get a feel for the phrase. And when we talk about fearing God, I want to share just a few verses. When I looked them up, I've got like four pages, but I just want to mention a few of them. Because fearing God is something that is a good characteristic for us to have. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth. We also see the fear of the Lord, where it would come upon people, where they would recognize how great and mighty God is. 1 Samuel 11:7. Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. 2 Chronicles 17:10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 34:11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is something we need to learn. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to have a proper fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is something that we can understand. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. On and on. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Isaiah mentions many phrases, many verses of talking about fearing the Lord. Acts speaks of it also, walking in the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Honor the king. Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Those are just a few of the verses that talk about fearing God and that we should fear God. Back to these two criminals, though. Sometimes you see somebody condemning somebody for something that they are involved in also. Romans 2:21-22. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Why did people do these things? Because they did not fear God. Let's turn back in Luke to chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And a certain lawyer tempted the Lord by a question concerning eternal life. When Jesus referred him to the law under which he lived and asked him what it said, the lawyer was compelled to answer by stating the law. Jesus responded that this was right and he should do it, and this man tried to justify himself. So in Luke chapter 10, let's begin reading at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of the law? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly, do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? He asked, Who is my neighbor? We have the account of the Good Samaritan to understand who the neighbor is. But this lawyer, did he fear God? No, he didn't fear God. He just wanted an easy answer. He did not want to fear God and honor him. And he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. So the question, do you fear God? that's what we want to consider for a few minutes. As I said, the fear of God has gone out of the hearts of so many people today. They do not fear His Word. They don't care what the Bible says. They will just laugh at it if you refer to the Bible. They do not fear His power. You just stop and think about how mighty God is, that He created this whole universe, this world. He just spoke into existence. They do not fear His power. You know, one of the things I like about the summertime is when there are thunderstorms. And when I was growing up out in the country, out in the open, and you would hear the thunder and see the lightning and see the, when there were clouds, all of those lights up in the clouds, and you would hear that rumble. You go down to like Tennessee, where they have lightning storms, and it just echoes and reverberates in the hills. That's just a very small shadow of the power of God. We need to fear God. We need to fear His judgment. We need to fear His judgment. Every one of us, one of the things that is certain for every one of us, we are going to stand before God one day in His presence and be judged by Him. Are we fearful of that? Are we fearful of God where we respect His Word? I think if we feared God, our lives would be a lot different than they are, because we just go about things every day without that proper recognition. What I'd like for us to do is consider three examples this morning of people who did not fear God. Just three examples. The New Testament is full of many of them. But the first one I would like for us to consider is that of Judas. And let's look in Luke chapter 22. And beginning at verse 3. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. We know from Acts 1, verses 24 and 25 that Judas fell by transgression. They prayed and said, "You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which of these two who you have chosen to take part in this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his place." When you think about Judas, probably everybody knows who Judas is. It is recorded so that there would be an eternal record of what this man did. I think nobody loves Judas. Nobody loves the deed that he did. Nobody thinks of him as an honorable man. So the question then is, what about people today that are doing the same thing? Somebody will say, well, nobody's going out and betraying Jesus today. Really? People are. How do we betray Jesus? People, so-called Christians, will sell out Jesus for something smaller than what Judas did. They will sell out Jesus for even a smaller price. They will sell out Jesus for the sake of some personal advantage. They'll do it without hesitation. Why is that? Dost thou not fear God? Do you not even fear God? Can't you see what you're doing? Consider the case of Demas. Demas also gives us an example of the lack of fear of God today. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 7. Tychius, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision, for they have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Here in this list of names that Paul is including in this letter, the last two he mentions are Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Demas was a fellow laborer. He was a companion of Paul. Let's turn to Philemon and look at verses 22 through 24. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow servant in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Again, we see Demas mentioned with Paul. He was a faithful fellow worker with Paul. But things had changed by the time Paul wrote to Timothy. So let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Verse 9. Verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Why did Demas forsake Paul? The Apostle Paul. How could you forsake the Apostle Paul? It's because he did not fear God. Demas did not fear God. He loved this present world. There is a danger when we love the world. John said, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. So does that mean that we should not enjoy this beautiful day that God has given to us? No, it doesn't mean that. We should not enjoy those worldly things, those temporary things, those things that are called corruptible. We want the incorruptible things, those things that are everlasting, that are eternal. But Demas, he also sold out Christ because he loved the world. He went back into the world. James said that friendship of the world is enmity with God. James goes on to say in James chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do we not fear God? You see, so many people going back into the world. There have been thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have followed in the footsteps of Demas and forsook the work of the Lord and gone back into the world. We aren't talking about people that never stepped out of the world. We are talking about people that stepped out and became Christians and have gone back into the world. We all know people like that. We know them. We may have friends, ones that have been friends that were like that. We may have family members. It's a very effective tool of Satan to disrupt people's lives in the church, to get them sidetracked where someone will go back into the world. As James was saying, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why do we have friendship with the world? Part of it is because we don't fear God. You think about going fishing, and I don't know the mental abilities of a fish, but you take a lure and you throw it out in the water, and it's got a hook on it, and what's that fish going to do? It's going to bite on it. It's going to bite on it, and you hooked it. And you say, look at that dumb fish. It went for that. What about us? Satan dangles that lure out there, that worldly lure. And us dumb people, we bite on it. And he's hooked us. He's snagged us. Don't we fear God? Don't we know what's going to happen to us? Don't we know? How does Peter describe someone that has left the world, has become a Christian, and then gone back into the world? He tells us in his second letter in chapter 2 and verse 22. He says it's as a dog returns to its own vomit, or a sow that returns to wallowing in the mire. Have you ever seen a dog go out and vomit and then lick it up? I think most of us have. It's a disgusting sight. And again, this is just trying to use words to help us understand the life of a Christian that has gone back into the world. A sow, you take a pig that's been muddy and filthy, dirty. You wash it, you clean it up, and then it goes back to wallowing in the mire. What is that mire? That's mud. It's garbage. That's that own pig's body waste in there, and it just wallows in it. And that's the picture of a person that knows better. They've come out of the world, and then they go back into the world. Friends, don't you fear God? Do you not fear God? Maybe we don't go back and live there. Maybe we don't do that. Maybe we show up for services every Sunday. But maybe we go back and visit during the week. Maybe we go back and we just step our foot in that mud. Just a couple days during the week. Don't we fear God? Don't we fear God? Well, consider the condemnation of the church at Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and beginning at verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. What was one of the problems with the church at Laodicea? They did not fear God. They did not fear God. How are they described? They are described as lukewarm. Have you ever visited a congregation that was lukewarm? If you do, you can tell. There's nothing going on there. You can visit a congregation that's on fire for the Lord, and you just know it. You know they are on fire. You can go visit some congregations and they're dead. You know that too. And lukewarm. How does God feel about a church that is lukewarm? It makes him sick to his stomach. I wish that you were cold nor hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Some people try to get sidetracked here and talk about, well, why would God want us to be cold? Doesn't he want us to be hot? One of the things that John is using to illustrate this is the area in which he was writing to. We understand this today. There are springs throughout the world, some located in areas, more in certain areas than others. Not too far from here is Yellow Springs. Why is it named Yellow Springs? Because of the springs there. When you have springs, what are the two types of springs you have? You have a cold one and you have a hot one. They are both good for something. The cold springs, so many places, again, in the South would have a spring house. You'd go down and get some of that good cold spring water. The hot springs, they are therapeutic. They are good for relaxing. Cold is good. Hot is good. What about lukewarm? Do you want to drink lukewarm water? Do you want to take a bath in lukewarm water? It's not good. It's good for nothing. And again, that is how Jesus speaking in this revelation to John that John records, how he is speaking to get this idea across to them. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Yet they did not realize they were in a wretched condition. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Why were they that way? A big reason was they did not fear God. That was a church problem. Lukewarmness is also an individual problem. I would say it would be safe to say that in many congregations, there are people that have been lukewarm most of the time that they have been in the church. They may have been on fire really strong after they were baptized, and then over the years it just dwindles and the flame goes out. I've heard people brag about how long they've been a member of the church. Well, I've been a member of the church 40 years. I've heard people brag about being founding members of a congregation. Both of those are well and good, But the question is, what have you done? What have you done in all that time? Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Friends, this is a question, just like this one criminal asked the other. We have to ask ourselves this all of the time. Do we fear God? You know, we can think of other examples, Ananias and Sapphira. Did they fear God? No, they didn't. They are as an example for us also. But the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, it is so important to being a Christian, so important to motivate our life to live right for Him every day. And it is so important because without fearing God, we can't make it to heaven. We can't make it to heaven because that fear is going to motivate us. If in any way your life falls into the pattern of one of these examples that we've looked at with Judas or Demas or the church at Laodicea, the only escape that you have is in the fear of God and in repentance. The world will tell you anything but that. Your only escape is in the fear of God and obedience to His word. So ask yourself, doth thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? James tells us we need to draw near to God. We need to stay near to Him. Again, the judgment is certain. It is coming. The fear of the Lord is a great motivator. If we do not have that fear, we will not be moved to be saved. But if you're here and you don't have that fear, that's sad because you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. If you're here and you've gone back into the world like Demas, you need to wake up and you need to repent and you need to come and obey the gospel, obey God. If we can help anybody this morning to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that is weary?